Ciao, sono Mark e oggi ho una notizia. We have some fantastic news for Italian learners. Starting February 2024, our Coffee Break Italian Masterclass is a brand new way to help you take your Italian to the next level. Aimed at intermediate Italian speakers who want to move on to an advanced level, the masterclass covers advanced topics such as pronouns, the conditional perfect, the passive voice, subjunctive structures, and much more, and it ultimately helps you sound more Italian. It's a six-month coaching course with a different module covered each month, and it starts on the 1st of February. The lessons are self-access, so you can work through each module and benefit from feedback and support from our wonderful masterclass tutors, Francesca and Maurizio. Imagine building your fluency with the Coffee Break Italian team over the next 6 months. Does this sound fantastico? Search today for Coffee Break Italian Masterclass or visit coffeebreaklanguages.com/Italian and join the class of February 2024. Places are limited and we're starting soon. Allora, cosa aspetti? Ci vediamo alla masterclass.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Coffee Break Italian Magazine, Season 1, Episode 5. Buongiorno a tutti e benvenuti a Coffee Break Italian. Io sono Mark.
Ciao a tutti, io sono Francesca.
Come stai, Francesca?
Mark, sto benissimo, grazie. E tu?
Sto benissimo, anch'io. Now, since we recorded the last episode, we've been doing something a little bit different, something interesting, qualcosa di molto interessante.
Sì, intendi dire che siamo andati in Italia?
Siamo andati in Italia, sì. Siamo andati in Italia per filmare. Because we've been working on a new concept for Coffee Break Italian, and that is Coffee Break Italian To Go. Now, this is going to be coming out later in the year, and it's a video series in which Francesca is on the streets of Italy.
Sì, mamma mia.
Talking to passers-by in Italian and giving you the opportunity to practice your understanding and build your vocabulary. That's coming later in the year, but we had a great time filming. Dove eravamo?
Siamo stati prima a Milano, mm-hmm. E una bella giornata di sole, calda, in centro, vicino al Duomo.
Sì.
E poi ci siamo spostati verso il Lago Maggiore a Stresa.
Esatto.
E di nuovo due giornate bellissime, calde, fantastiche.
E abbiamo anche incontrato delle persone interessanti.
Sì, un sacco di persone disponibili a parlare e poi anche la mia famiglia.
Certo, e anche degli ascoltatori di Coffee Break Italian.
Sì, è stata una sorpresa inaspettata. Abbiamo incontrato una famiglia americana, mm-hmm. che appunto ascolta Coffee Break Italian.
Sì.
E loro ci hanno riconosciuti.
Esatto.
E poi una coppia spagnola che vive a Milano, uh-huh. e questa coppia usa Coffee Break Italian appunto per imparare l'italiano ora che si sono trasferiti a Milano. Li salutiamo ovviamente.
Esatto,
se ci stanno ascoltando.
Esatto. So it has been a great couple of weeks, but it's back to the normal recording process now as we get into today. Episode. Allora, Francesca, sono curiosa di sapere qual è l'argomento di oggi.
Ok, Mark, però non te lo dico subito.
Okay.
Voglio farti indovinare, anche se non è difficile come argomento.
Ok, dammi qualche indizio però.
Ok, un indizio. Allora, ti spiego. Ieri volevo fare un tiramisù,
okay.
Sai che mi piace, ma non trovavo i savoiardi, i biscotti che si usano per il tiramisù. Così, come alternativa, ho comprato dei biscotti che qui in Scozia si chiamano Lady Fingers.
Sono confuso.
Aspetta. Allora, mentre compravo questi biscotti, ho pensato che anche in italiano alcuni cibi hanno nomi che si riferiscono alle parti del corpo, come fingers in inglese.
Ah, non ci avevo mai pensato, ma non mi viene in mente niente.
Ce ne sono tantissimi in italiano, ad esempio lingue di gatto.
Ah, sì, cat's tongues, i biscotti, no?
Sì,
come in francese, langue de chat.
Sì, penso che derivi proprio dal francese la parola italiana. E poi ci sono altri cibi, come ad esempio i capelli d'angelo.
As angel's hair, is that a type of pasta?
Sì, una pasta simile agli spaghetti, ma più fine, esatto. Mm-hmm.
Ma sai, inizia a venirmi fame.
Ah, allora se hai fame ti faccio un uovo all'occhio di bue.
Wait a minute, a bull's eye egg?
Sì, praticamente vuol dire un uovo fritto.
Ok, ma allora parliamo di uova fritte oggi?
No, Mark, stai tranquillo. La parte del corpo che ispira un alimento, l'alimento di cui parliamo oggi, è l'orecchio.
L'orecchio?
Sì, ear.
Sì, questo capisco, ma non ho nessuna idea di quello di cui stai parlando.
È un tipo di pasta.
Ah, le orecchiette.
Bravissimo, oggi vi parlerò delle orecchiette.
Ok, allora cominciamo.
Va bene. Oggi sono felice di parlarvi un po' di uno dei miei piatti italiani preferiti, le orecchiette. Come abbiamo detto prima, l'origine del nome orecchiette è legato alla loro forma, che ricorda un piccolo orecchio. Solitamente sono delle dimensioni di un polpastrello e di forma tondeggiante e concava. Sebbene possiate trovare questa pasta da Bolzano a Palermo, le orecchiette affondano le proprie radici nella tradizione gastronomica pugliese, che, come sapete, è ricca di prelibatezze di ogni tipo. L'origine di questa pasta è incerta, ma già in alcuni documenti del periodo romano si fa riferimento a un tipo di pasta molto simile alle odierne orecchiette. Secondo un'altra scuola di pensiero, invece, furono i francesi a esportare questa pasta in Puglia durante il Medioevo, ma, detto tra noi, agli italiani non piace molto questa ipotesi. Comunque, come si fanno le orecchiette? Lasciatemi dire che si tratta di un'arte vera e propria. E, se non ci credete, andate in Puglia per assistere in prima persona ad uno spettacolo che vi lascerà a bocca aperta. Infatti, dopo aver preparato con molta cura l'impasto a base di semola di grano duro, acqua e sale, le donne iniziano a formare delle strisce sottili di pasta che divideranno poi in pezzettini ancora più piccoli. Con l'aiuto di un coltello particolare, spesso tramandato da madre in figlia, trascinano il pezzettino formando una specie di petalo. Questo poi viene ulteriormente lavorato utilizzando il dito pollice, che conferisce la caratteristica forma di orecchietta. Una volta pronte, le orecchiette possono essere condite in mille modi, in base ai vostri gusti, anche se la versione più tradizionale è quella con le cime di rapa. Mmm, da leccarsi i baffi.
Ma adesso ho veramente fame.
Allora, dopo la registrazione,
sì, forse andiamo
al ristorante italiano qua sotto.
Sì, mi sembra un'ottima idea. Okay, Francesca, we're now going to go back through this and obviously speak about the language and the words, because in this episode there are really loads and loads of interesting vocabulary items and some really nice words, a couple that I am not familiar with and I would like some help with this. Va bene,
allora cominciamo subito.
Okay.
Oggi sono felice di parlarvi un po' di uno dei miei piatti italiani preferiti.
Okay, that's fairly straightforward. So today I am happy to speak to you, parlarvi, so speak to all of you, our listeners, un po' di uno, about one of my favorite Italian dishes, uno dei miei piatti italiani preferiti.
Certo.
And that is?
Le orecchiette.
So these are the pasta shapes, like little ears.
Sì. Come abbiamo detto prima.
As we have already said, as we said before.
L'origine del nome orecchiette.
So the origin of the name orecchiette
è legato alla loro forma.
Is linked, legato, linked to their shape, sì. Loro forma.
Che ricorda un piccolo orecchio.
Which reminds you of a small ear.
Bravissimo. Solitamente sono delle dimensioni di un polpastrello.
Ok, so solitamente, we could say here, di solito.
Sì, sì, sì.
So usually they are in the dimensions, the size of a polpastrello.
Sì, non abbiamo il video, ma ti posso far vedere che cos'è. È questa parte del dito.
Ok, so Francesca showing me her fingertip.
Sì.
Polpastrello. It reminds me of the word for bat.
Pipistrello.
So don't get your polpastrelli and your pipistrelli mixed up.
No, no, no.
So they are normally about the size of a fingertip.
E di forma tondeggiante e concava.
Right, so concava must be concave.
Sì.
But tondeggiante, what would that be?
Curved.
Curved, okay. Sì. So they're in a curved and concave shape.
Sebbene possiate trovare questa pasta da Bolzano a Palermo.
Oh, now this is a very interesting expression here. Let's hear the first part again.
Sebbene possiate trovare.
Right, so we've got possiate, so we've got a subjunctive form there from the verb potere.
Sì.
So sebbene possiate trovare. Sebbene means although.
Although.
So although you can find this pasta from Bolzano to Palermo, so all over Italy.
Sì.
And this sebbene is followed by a subjunctive.
Esatto.
Because there's this, well, it's just a trigger.
It's that a structure that takes the subjunctive, yes. Yep.
So, sebbene possiate trovare questa pasta di da Bolzano a Palermo. Could we have said benché there?
Sì, sì,
so
sì.
So benché and sebbene are the same in
sì,
a sense.
Sì,
both mean
benché
although.
Possiate trovare questa pasta da Bolzano a Palermo, sì.
And both followed by the subjunctive. Good, okay.
Le orecchiette affondano le proprie radici nella tradizione gastronomica pugliese.
So they affondano, something about depth. So does it date back to?
Sì, okay. Sì. Literally affondare is to deepen their roots or have their roots. But
right.
It means to date back.
So they have their roots in the traditional Pugliese gastronomy, mm-hmm. Or the gastronomy of Puglia.
Sì. Che, come sapete,
which, as you know,
è ricca di prelibatezze di ogni tipo.
This is one of these words that I was not familiar with, along with polpastrello. So, prelibatezze.
Sì, le prelibatezze sono delle specialità, delle cose buonissime, esageratamente buone.
Ah, ok, so these are the delicacies of, a, sì. Of an area. So, the orecchiette have their roots in the Pugliese gastronomy, which is rich in delicacies of all types.
Sì, di ogni tipo. Okay. Perfetto. L'origine di questa pasta è incerta.
So the origin of this particular pasta is uncertain.
Ma già in alcuni documenti del periodo romano.
But already in some documents of the Roman period.
Si fa riferimento a un tipo di pasta.
There is a reference made to a type of pasta.
Molto simile alle odierne orecchiette.
Right, so very similar to, is that like the orecchiette of today?
Sì, sì.
Hodie in Latin, I remember.
Bravissimo.
for today, I think. So odierne, an adjective meaning of today.
Significa di oggi, sì.
Di oggi, or contemporary,
sì.
Could we say?
Sì, okay. Sì, sì.
Can we go back a moment to the alcuni documenti? What's the difference between ma già in alcuni documenti but ma già in qualche documento?
The difference is in the structure. Mm-hmm. When we use qualche, we always need to use a singular noun.
Exactly.
So you could have said ma in qualche documento romano, mm-hmm. While if we decide to use alcuni or the feminine alcune, we need to use a plural
a
noun.
Plural. And is there, when you say qualche documento and alcuni documenti, does one suggest there are more documents?
More or less is the same thing, same. Really.
Okay.
Sì, sì.
Okay. Good. Okay. So we found this reference to the orecchiette in some Roman documents.
Okay. Secondo un'altra scuola di pensiero.
So according to another school of thought, interesting that we can translate school of
sì,
thought exactly
sì.
Like that.
Invece.
On the other hand.
Furono i francesi a esportare questa pasta in Puglia.
Mm, we're introducing some very interesting verb forms
sì,
here. Furono.
You love that.
Now, this is passato remoto, isn't
Bravissimo
it?
Bravissimo di essere.
It was the French who exported this type of pasta to Puglia.
Durante il Medioevo.
During the Middle Ages.
Ma detto fra noi.
But between ourselves.
Agli italiani non piace molto questa ipotesi.
I wonder why. The Italians don't really like this hypothesis.
Sì.
Let's go back to furono.
Va bene.
Furono is this new term, tense that we've never come across before.
Passato
I don't
remoto,
think
in
Coffee Break Italian. So the passato remoto, or the remote past, I suppose we could call it in English. Sometimes in French it's referred to as the past historic. Would we say past historic
in Italian? Sì, possiamo dire il passato storico. Sì. Okay. Di solito lo chiamiamo passato remoto. Remoto significa molto lontano.
Molto lontano. Okay, so it was the French. And does this tense conjugate like other tenses? Are there six parts of this
it
tense?
It tends to be very regular, passato right. remoto.
Okay.
Sì, sì.
So if, did you say regular or irregular?
Irregular, I'm afraid to say, sì.
That's what I feared. But we could conjugate, for example, the verb essere with all the different parts. And I'm probably going to ask you to do something here that you've not done since you were a child at school. Conjugate essere in the passato remoto.
Ok. Io fui.
Fui.
Tu fosti.
Fosti.
Lui fu.
Lui
o
fu.
Lei fu.
Uh-huh.
Noi fummo.
Fummo.
Voi foste.
Voi foste.
E loro furono, come furono. I francesi furono.
Ok, now we're not suggesting for a moment that you need to start learning this passato remoto.
No.
What you need to do, especially if you're going to be looking at any kind of literature, is recognize it and
sì.
understand
sì.
That it simply is a replacement, in a sense, for the passato prossimo.
We can say yes, but in theory, it has a specific function to talk about something that happened in a distant past and it's now finished. Although it has a geographic variation in Italy.
Okay.
So in the south of Italy and in Tuscany, passato remoto is used like in everyday conversations.
Right. Okay.
And at times it's also used to talk about something that happened yesterday.
Okay,
ieri andai da mia sorella.
Wow.
But for example, for me, coming from the north of Italy, it's something that I never ever use when I speak Italian.
Mm-hmm.
I use it if I write in Italian, but even if I talk about something that happened millions of years ago, my instinct is to use passato prossimo. So there is a strong geographic variation in the use of past tenses in Italian.
Okay, so just a word if you're a Spanish learner and you're used to thinking about the preterite, which is very much a spoken tense in Spanish, that's different from our passato remoto in Italian, which only has this use in spoken language in particular parts of the country. So if you're going to speak in the passato remoto, you may cause some raised eyebrows.
Uh-huh, but it's a beautiful tense. I love it.
And as I say, if you are into any books, if you're doing any reading at all, you will see the passato remoto all the time. And what I always find is that you very quickly recognize the forms of the regular verbs. The forms are very straightforward. And then you, because of the way in which the tenses are formed and the regular nature that they occur, you see the fus and ebbe and all this very, very regularly.
Sì.
So although they're extremely irregular, you actually see them regularly and therefore you recognize them.
Exactly, yeah.
There we go. Okay, let's continue. We did a little a geographical and a linguistic detour there, but let's get back to our orecchiette.
Okay. Comunque, come si fanno le orecchiette?
However, or anyway, how are orecchiette made?
Lasciatemi dire che si tratta di un'arte vera e propria.
Okay, so allow me to tell you that this involves a true and refined art.
E se non ci credete?
And if you don't believe me?
Andate in Puglia.
Go to Puglia.
Per assistere in prima persona.
To attend yourself and to have a first person experience of.
A uno spettacolo che vi lascerà a bocca aperta.
A spectacle which will leave you gobsmacked with your mouth open, literally.
Esatto.
A jaw dropping experience.
Infatti.
In fact,
dopo aver preparato con molta cura l'impasto,
so that's a construction that we've seen in a previous Coffee Break Italian lesson. Dopo aver fatto qualcosa,
sì.
So after having prepared or after preparing with great care the dough,
the dough,
l'impasto,
mm-hmm. a base di semola di grano duro.
Oh, you'll need to help me here. I'm not well up in these technical terms. What is semola di grano duro?
I think in English you would say durum.
Durum, okay.
Wheat, semolina.
Right, so semolina, semolina of durum wheat.
Okay.
I'm sure there are people listening to this who are thinking, oh, Mark, for goodness sake, you know, you should know these things, but not to worry.
Acqua e sale.
So water and salt.
Le donne iniziano a formare delle strisce sottili di pasta.
So the ladies, I guess we're talking about these Italian grannies that we've seen on YouTube and so on. So they begin to form thin strips of pasta.
Che divideranno poi in pezzettini ancora più piccoli.
Which they then will divide in even smaller pieces.
Esatto. Con l'aiuto di un coltello particolare.
So with the help of a particular knife.
Spesso tramandato da madre in figlia.
Often transferred or inherited by the daughter from her mother.
Sì. Trascinano il pezzettino.
So they drag?
Sì, they drag, formando una specie di petalo.
So they drag the little piece, mm-hmm. making a type of petal.
Sì, okay. Sì. Questo poi viene ulteriormente lavorato.
Right, so this, so referring
the petal,
to the petal, yeah,
sì.
It is further worked, it's
sì,
pressed further or
sì,
molded further,
sì.
manipulated, yeah, that's a better word.
Utilizzando il dito pollice.
So using the thumb.
The thumb, mm-hmm. che conferisce la caratteristica forma di orecchietta.
And this then gives it the characteristic form or the characteristic shape of the orecchietta.
Sì, so basically the final touch is added
is
by
hand.
The thumb.
Yep.
Sì.
Okay.
Okay. Una volta pronte.
So once they're ready.
Le orecchiette possono essere condite in mille modi.
So once they're ready, they can be, I guess, seasoned in a thousand different ways.
In base ai vostri gusti.
According to your tastes.
Anche se la versione più tradizionale,
even if the most traditional version,
è quella con le cime di rapa.
Right, again, you're going to have to help me here. The cime di rapa.
I think there is not really a translation in English for cime di rapa. Is at times here in Glasgow, I've seen the word friarelli used.
Friarelli.
Yeah, okay. When we go for pizza.
Right.
I don't want to mention the place where we go pizza. It's like green leaves,
right.
Basically,
okay.
But very tasty.
Right.
So cime di rapa.
Okay, so that's the most traditional type of orecchietti dish.
Sì.
With the cime di rapa. Sorry, rapa, not rappa.
Rapa, sì. Da leccarsi i baffi.
And that makes you lick your lips.
Sì,
yes,
sì.
Mouth-watering.
Sì, sì, literally the moustache.
Moustache, yeah, you baffi, so you've got to lick your finger licking good, I guess
sì,
we would say, but
sì.
You've got to lick your moustache in Italian. Okay, I definitely think it's worth going and investigating. I think we need to do some research, some really serious research
okay.
for this episode. So, we'll be back in a moment with more of the episode. I don't think we'll have time to do our research just in the break, but definitely a date in the diary to get some orecchiette.
Mm.
Now, if you would like to get more out of the Coffee Break Italian magazine, then you may be interested in signing up for the full course over at the Coffee Break Academy. For each episode of the magazine, we also provide a transcript with lesson notes, vocabulary lists, and exercises to help you get the most out of this course. Head over to coffeebreakacademy.com for more information. Welcome back. We are talking orecchiette today,
sì.
But it's time to move on because this is the part of the show where the Coffee Break Italian listener becomes the star of the show.
Esatto.
And this week's star is Mario Paul.
Sì.
So Mario Paul's question is an interesting one.
Okay, ascoltiamo.
Hello, my name is Mario Paul from Surrey, England. I've been studying Italian for about 15 months. My question is, I understand the word some can be translated in several ways. It can be done by using the preposition di plus the definite article to give us del, dei, della, dello, and so forth, or by using alcuno, alcuni, alcuna, alcune, or by using qualche. Which is the best way to decide which one of these translations to use?
Ciao Mario, grazie per la tua domanda. I can see you have really studied your grammar. I'm so happy. What you're saying about the translation of the word sum into Italian is absolutely right. In fact, there are different ways of translating a sum. We can use, as you said, the partitive article, so del, della, degli, and so on, but also alcuni, alcune, or even qualche. So the tricky question is which one to choose. First of all, we need to remember a few things. For example, we can only use qualche with singular nouns, despite the meaning being plural. And it's actually a very easy word to use because you don't even need to think of gender or number or agreements. I'll give you a couple of examples. Ho fatto qualche esercizio a casa. I did a few exercises at home. So we are using qualche plus the singular word esercizio, although the meaning is plural, a few exercises, some exercises. Or an example with a feminine word, ho fatto qualche torta per la festa. I baked a few cakes for the party. Remember another thing for qualche. Qualche can only be used with countable nouns, so with words which you can count. So something you could not say, for example, is ho bevuto qualche latte. And by latte here, I mean milk, not a latte, which you can buy in a bar or a coffee shop. So remember, qualche only with words which you can count. Okay, let's move to alcuni or alcune. And when it comes to this word, we need to remember that alcune, masculine plural, or alcune, feminine plural, can only be used with plural nouns. And it's interesting the fact that if alcuni or alcune are used in their singular form, they become negative. So if you're thinking of the translation of your English sum, only use alcuni and alcune in their plural form. Ad esempio, if I take the same examples I've given you before, ho fatto alcuni esercizi, as opposed to qualche esercizio, or ho fatto alcune torte, as opposed to ho fatto qualche torta. Okay, and the final thing is the partitive article, which you mentioned before, and which we have discussed in season 2 of our Coffee Break Italian podcast extensively. It's basically using preposition di plus the definite article, which goes together with the noun you are using. Ad esempio, going back to the same examples, ho fatto degli esercizi. So here we need to concentrate on the right definite article. And something we need to remember as well is when partitive articles are used with singular nouns, it's usually an uncountable noun. So if we go back to our milk, il latte, in this case we can say bevo del latte. So it's okay to use a partitive article with uncountable nouns. O metto dello zucchero nel caffè. I put some sugar in the coffee. We cannot count sugar. We cannot say one sugar, two sugars, and so on. So we are okay to use the partitive article with a word like zucchero. Or because today we spoke about pasta, which is again an uncountable noun, we could say mangio della pasta. I eat some pasta for the same reason, because we cannot say una pasta, due paste, tre paste. So we are happy with the partitive article here. So I hope my explanation was clear enough, Mario, and you can practice a bit more your different ways to translate some in Italian.
So just to be clear, Francesca, we would say, however, mangio delle orecchiette.
Mangio delle orecchiette, sì, because you can count them.
Exactly. So when it's countable, we can use delle and the plural forms. Sì. And when it's uncountable, we can use those singular forms of the sì. Partitive article. I hope that helps, Mario. Did we mention the alcuni and qualche and so on in our text? But there we've got a very thorough explanation of it from Francesca. Now, if you have a question that you would like to ask Francesca, then you can do so by sending us a voicemail. And you can simply record the voicemail on your phone and email it to radiolingua@gmail.com, or alternatively you can head over to coffeebreakquestions.com, and there you can send us your question and we will do our best to feature that in a future show. Okay, so we've talked about orecchiette, we've talked about the difference between, well, actually, not really the difference between the partitive article and the qualche and the alcuni, because they can all be used interchangeably si. As long as you get the grammar bits right. but what do you have for us in the ciliegina sulla torta?
Allora, oggi abbiamo parlato di orecchiette, la pasta, ma le orecchie come parte del corpo sono molto utilizzate nelle espressioni idiomatiche in italiano.
Okay.
E così ho pensato di dirvi che in italiano, quando qualcuno parla di noi, di solito diciamo che sentiamo fischiare le orecchie.
Okay, so fischiare literally means
to whistle.
To whistle, so you can hear the ears whistling.
Sì.
But in English we talk about where your ears burning
uh-huh.
when someone is talking about you.
Sì, esatto.
Excellent.
Infatti, secondo un'antichissima credenza popolare, quando qualcuno parla bene di una persona assente, a quella persona fischia l'orecchio destro. Ma se invece ne parla male, allora inizia a fischiare l'orecchio sinistro.
I love it.
Lì sono guai.
I love it. So it depends whether they're talking well or badly of you.
Sì.
That decides which ear is doing the talking,
sì.
doing the whistling.
Sì, allora se ti fischia l'orecchio destro vuol dire che qualcuno parla bene di te, altrimenti...
Okay, well, we'll need to keep that in mind.
Sì. E anche a noi di Coffee Break Italian fischiano spesso le orecchie, ma per fortuna posso dire che si tratta sempre, o quasi sempre, dell'orecchio destro.
And we hope that continues to be the case. If you'd like to, rather than talk about us, talk to us, then you can leave a review of Coffee Break Italian on any of the podcast apps, wherever you find Coffee Break Italian. Don't forget, too, that you can access the bonus materials for this episode, and indeed all our episodes of the magazine, and you can find them at coffeebreakitalian.com. Now, we're having a little bit of a summer break, so we'll be back after the summer with the remaining 5 episodes in this series. So, have a great summer. Buon estate a tutti.
Sì, buone vacanze.
E ci vediamo nella prossima puntata di Coffee Break Italian.
Tutti abbronzati. Ciao.
You have been listening to a production of the Coffee Break Academy for the Radiolingua Network. Copyright 2019 Radiolingua Limited. Recording copyright 2019 Radiolingua Limited. All rights reserved.